Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we are going to focus on the prevalence of anxiety disorders, which, you know, it seems to be somewhat of a recurring theme to say that the prevalence is increasing.
Right.
But the prevalence is increasing.
Right. I think we're going to find that with all these disorders.
I think so.
Although I was a bit surprised at the rates.
Right.
The current rates and the fact that they are all increasing.
Right.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but I was a little bit surprised. These are very high numbers.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And so we're pulling from a couple of different articles. One is from the American Psychiatric Association, and that's mm-hmm. talking about general anxiety disorders in general.
Right.
And then another one is from the Washington Post that talks about right. the significant increase in anxiety-related disorders in teens and kids, basically.
Right. Yeah, that's maybe pushing the increase,
right.
is the increased prevalence among even young children,
right.
and teenagers, but especially teenagers into college age,
right.
you know, 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, young adults. So,
yep.
Now, throughout the course of this week, we're going to be getting into different types of anxiety disorders.
Right.
And actually, on Thursday, we're going to focus on different types of anxiety disorders. But as we're going through the prevalency rates today, we're going to see that the rates vary based upon the different
Right, types. They vary by type.
Right.
You know, because one of the things very clearly in DSM-5, Diagnostic mm-hmm. and Statistical Manual, are the types of specific subtypes of anxiety disorders. And when you talk about when we talk about anxiety in clinical, mm-hmm. professional
right.
terms,
right.
we think in terms of these subtypes.
Right.
When the layman... Mm-hmm. When kids or teenagers or adults come in, they talk about anxiety in general.
Right.
Okay. So it's important to make those distinctions. And
yeah.
I'm glad they did it this way in this article.
Yeah. Well, the American Psychiatric Association estimates that 30%
right.
of adults at some point in their life will suffer from an anxiety disorder.
Right.
And it puts it as the most common form of mental health.
Right.
condition, mental disorder,
right.
That we know of right
yep.
now.
If you're looking for the front runner, mm-hmm. it's clearly anxiety.
Absolutely.
It really outdistances
yeah.
all of the other disorders.
Yeah.
I mean, 40%, that's almost...
30%.
30%.
Yeah,
but,
1 in 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty high. That's high.
Yeah.
For any disorder.
Absolutely. And it does vary based upon the different subtype.
Mm-hmm.
So
according
to their
right.
estimates, you know, 7 to 9% or so experience a specific phobia.
Right.
And we're going to get into that. And I think that is certainly something that boosts mm-hmm. the prevalency rate. Because when it comes to a specific phobia... You know, if you have a specific phobia of a snake, or you know, we can get into all kinds of different specifics
right.
when it comes to a specific phobia. You know, well, we're going to talk about them later this week.
But all have, most of us have an innate fear of spiders,
right?
And snakes, because
right.
genetically, those were our main enemies,
right.
In the trees and in the savannah. We worried about snakes and spiders. And so there's this theory from evolutionary biology
right.
that we have an innate fear of, and I think most people would say that
mm-hmm.
spiders creep us out.
You right.
know, even a tarantula, which is not dangerous to humans,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it can bite us and hurt us, but it doesn't poison us,
mm-hmm.
is a scary thing.
Right.
Snakes on a plane. Remember
right.
that
yeah,
movie?
That was a
disgusting movie
yeah.
about it. And arachnophobia.
Right.
I mean, filmmakers have capitalized on our innate
yeah.
fear of those two things. But people are afraid of frogs, and they're afraid of germs, and they're afraid
heights.
Of all kinds. Right.
And mm-hmm.
so all those specific phobias, of course, 7 to 9% of us, about 10% have a phobia.
Right.
Do you have a phobia?
I don't think so.
I don't think you do either.
I don't think so.
I don't.
I have a phobia of vacations. No.
Yes, you do. You have a phobia of taking a day off. And therefore, it's a contagion.
That's right.
I caught it.
That's right.
No, I didn't have to catch it. We just had to find.
You had it.
You just had to find another person who wants to work 7 days a week.
That's right. Now another really highly prevalent form of anxiety disorder is a social anxiety disorder, right. And it used to be social phobia,
right.
And so this one would have sort of fallen into that same category of specific phobia, but social anxiety disorder is second on the list at 7%, and then from there we get to panic disorders and agoraphobia, generalized anxiety disorder, and separation anxiety, and all of them are somewhere in the 2 to 3%
single percentage range, right? So that panic disorders are not that common.
2 to 3%.
Scary, frightening if you have it. Agoraphobia, the fear of leaving your home, 2%.
Yeah.
And then this generalized anxiety disorder. And to me, professionally, clinically, that's the most difficult diagnosis, because frequently people will come in and they'll talk about anxiety in general. But when you narrow it down and you start asking specific questions, you usually come up with, it's really not a generalized anxiety disorder, it's something more specific.
Right. So when it comes to, again, this prevalency of specific anxiety-related disorders, we see a range from anywhere from 1 to 2% on the low end, all the way up to approaching 10% of the population when it comes to specific phobias. And altogether, taken together, we get about 30%. I think that part of this also perhaps even helps us with the removal of obsessive compulsive disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder.
PTSD.
Those used to be within the family of anxiety disorders, and once those, now that those have been removed, that may even take the rates a little bit lower for overall anxiety, because you know, OCD and PTSD affect a pretty large percentage of people.
And so if you're going to look this up, if you're going to Google anxiety disorders, or when you are reading about it, frequently articles will include PTSD and obsessive compulsive disorder in the anxieties.
Right.
That will also affect prevalence, because prevalence is going to go up if you put those two in. But as of 2013, when DSM-5 appeared, we've taken those out, okay? And so just know that as you're reading these articles and you wonder, why are these in here? They're in here because they used to be prior to 2013. They're no longer included.
Right. Now, as we shift over to the article from the Washington Post, you know, this one specifically focuses on children and adolescents and young adults. And it's really a fascinating read, and we would certainly encourage you to check it out, because what it proposes, I guess it's a proposal, it's not really, there's not a lot of hard evidence. I mean, there's some, as we're going to talk about, but it's not. But there's been a significant increase, an increase of almost 20%. In children between the ages of 6 and 17 years, in the diagnosis of an anxiety-related disorder.
That's right. And that's from 2007 to 2012, I believe. And to put that in perspective, there's been a 20% increase in anxiety disorders, but only a 0.2% increase, 0.2% increase in
depression. Right.
You know, so a huge difference among those. So clearly, anxiety disorders are increasing at a phenomenally rapid rate among kids and teenagers.
Yeah. And then there was another article, another research research group that looked at 18 and 19 years old year olds, and said that since 1985, the overall percentage prevalence rate of anxiety disorders in 18 and 19 year olds climbed 28%.
That's right, because in 1985, 18% of students, college age students, identified themselves as having an anxiety disorder. By 2000, we went from 18% to 28%.
Yeah.
And by 2016, it was 41%.
Right.
And so we see this, and this is from the Higher Education Research Institute. These are fairly well done studies by universities who are keeping track of these sorts of things. And it brought to mind the article that appeared this past week about increases, that you wrote, that appeared in the Lakeland Ledger, about what is it? What are we doing to children
right.
that might be pushing these
right.
rates higher?
Right.
One certainly is school.
Yeah, absolutely.
The pressure of school. School is not a school is a stressful experience now for children. It's in early childhood. It's in the early grades. Am I going to get promoted?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to pass the test? In middle school, you have the whole social hurricane that's occurring, and then in high school, you have the competition for first of all, to graduate, you have to pass these high stakes tests, and of course exams. But then you also have the competition for colleges,
right.
and it becomes frenetic.
Right.
I mean, it really, really does. Parents and teens can really stress over getting accepted into the right kind of college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's extremely stressful for children and teenagers, and you know whether this, regardless of the issues at school, you know there's also social.
Right.
Aspects. So, you know, social media has been, and we've talked about this many times before on previous podcasts, you know, social media is significantly implicated in the increase of anxiety because
right.
now, you know, not only are you comparing yourself to your peers and, you know, competing with peers socially at school or in the community, but it's 24/7. I mean, you're constantly looking to make sure that you're getting enough likes and enough follows and enough friends on social media so that you sort of remain relevant.
It is the way children measure their self-worth. As sad as it is.
Right.
They really keep track. They're all like little statisticians. They keep track of how many likes they get, how many friends they have. And it really does create a recurring daily cycle of stress inducing checks.
Yeah, I used to work with a teenager who like could not sit through a session. You know, our sessions last about 50 to 55 minutes. She couldn't sit through a session without checking to see if how her Instagram was doing, because she, you know, was just determined to have a certain number of followers on Instagram, and so she was constantly checking it.
What was that first, the precursor of Facebook? Was it MySpace? MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when MySpace first appeared, the goal was to get the most, did they call them friends?
I can't remember.
Call them something.
Yeah.
But the more you had, the more status you received from your, oh, you have 150, I have 2,500, and I have this.
Yeah.
And you measured your status based on how many associates you had on MySpace, right?
Yeah.
And of course, Facebook does the same thing.
Yeah, and there's a really interesting episode of Black Mirror on,
that's right.
On Netflix. That's, I think it's season 3 or 4, that's all about social media and sort of a future where your credit score and everything is based upon you know how many likes you have and how people rate you and follow you, and it's really an interesting glimpse into a scary future.
You know, and we always, I struggle with this because I have a daughter who's very much a part of that that age, and I watch her doing these sorts of things, and I wonder, am I just, you know, a generation ago, we complained about Elvis Presley and the Beatles, and I wonder if it's just old people complain. This is their. I mean, we had our ways of measuring popularity. They weren't quite as obsessive,
right? Well, they weren't as constant,
right? They weren't as constant, nor were they so public,
right?
I think that's the difference today, is that it's constant and it's public,
right? Right?
I mean, there are teenagers who get up in the morning and decide what they're going to look like and wear that day based on the pictures they plan to take.
Right.
I mean, it does start to control your life. It's
right.
a bit of the tail wagging the dog. But it is anxiety producing
right.
because your reputation relies on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So there has been a tremendous increase
right.
and anxiety in children and teenagers. And as the use of social media continues to sort of drop into younger and younger ages, I think we're going to continue to see increases in that.
Right. You know, Jane Twang, I've talked about Jane Twang before. Can I say this?
Sure. I guess.
Well, I mean,
you've already started now.
And so she wrote a wonderful book called iGen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she teaches at San Diego State or somewhere, and I think it is San Diego State, and she's written this wonderful book where she collects mountains of data.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, how many more children are doing this today than yesterday, and how many are doing this rather than this, and how many kids are getting their driver's license at 16?
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared, and in every case, everything is being pushed back. First date, mm-hmm, how often mm-hmm. they go out. Kids don't go out anymore.
Right.
They don't. I mean, right. We couldn't wait for weekends
right.
so we could go out. Kids today don't go out. They mm-hmm. stay home and they're on their devices. And she has some interesting statistics too, because she says that children today in 2007 were 5 times more likely to feel anxiety mm-hmm. because of the pressures of social media and school right. than they were a generation ago, and certainly mm-hmm. 2 generations ago. I think the first study was maybe done in 1938.
Mm-hmm.
They said by 2, but it's a factor of 5 or 6 that there's more anxiety and depression in children today.
Yeah.
So it is increasing, and that may be. And so with those numbers, you're about, you know, 30 to 40% of children. I think 41% are going to experience mm-hmm. anxiety sometime in their life.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. it's fairly common.
It is. And so it's, as we're talking about this throughout the week, you know, make sure that you're thinking about not only yourself and your loved ones, but your kids and,
absolutely.
You know, anyone that you come into contact with through work or, you know, if you're a teacher or whatever, you're going to certainly encounter, you know, students, you know, if you're a teacher, you know, mm-hmm. 1 in 3 of your students potentially has
right. you have 21 kids in your disorder. Class, 7 of them are struggling with anxiety
right.
And you need to remember that. And I don't know what it would be like to be 10 years old and worry about school lockdown
right.
and shooters and
right.
you know, armed guards in schools. I can't put myself in that
right.
setting, in that predicament of what it's like for children.
Yeah.
But certainly it's a consideration. So besides social media and the pressures of school, you have the world today where, you know, there's terrorism, you know,
right.
almost every day or certainly
right.
several times a week, there are terrorist acts. And we can't do anything about that. You know, if we go into Dunkin' Donuts or we go mm-hmm. into Waffle House
yeah.
or we go into a restaurant, will somebody come in and start shooting?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a different world.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, that is it for today. Before we go, we've been working to remind everyone all week of the Coming Out of the Darkness, a concert of hope that mm-hmm. will be presented at Theater Winter Haven
right.
on May 24th at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to theaterwinterhaven.com, theater theatre.
R-E.
Winterhaven.com and contact them and get some more information. But the proceeds of the event will go to a local mental health agency, community mm-hmm. mental health agency, as well as the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Okay.
But it's all about raising awareness and increasing
right.
suicide prevention understanding, and you know the 44,000 they talk about.
44,000 suicides.
Suicides. So definitely, if you're in the area and you're interested, it's going to be a great. I've seen the agenda
mm-hmm.
for the night, and it's going to be an impressive evening of presenters from the best of Central Florida talent, and it's all written and directed by Norm Small. So check that out.
Join us there.
Absolutely. So all right, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.